A greeting in Jesus' name. Just again, a special welcome to our visitors. May you worship with us. I trust that as we serve the same God, even though we're maybe not from this church, but that we can worship together. That is one awesome thing. One thing about a great God that we can serve wherever we go, we can find God's people and worship together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. As we think about, for those of you that attend here regularly, I am on a series of parables. And today I'd like to look at the parable of the rich fool. Now, as I was listening this morning, I heard different times, different things that came up that I was blessed as I thought of in study and as I thought, as Brother Brian shared, as we think about validation, that's powerful. Desire for approval is powerful. And as we look at this rich, I'll say young fool, I don't know, was he young? We see a man that was longing for something. And as we look at where Jesus is at now, he prayed for the disciples here in chapter 11. And he's giving some woes to the lawyers now here at the latter part of chapter 11. And he's in verse 54 of chapter 11 says, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. This is what they were trying to do to Jesus. They were trying to catch him. They were trying to find some fault with him. And then he goes on in chapter 12 and he's speaking to the disciples there in the latter part of verse 12:1, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so he's wanting to make sure that the disciples get this. Now, not only were the disciples with him, but he was in a pretty big crowd at this point. If you read there in 12:1 of Luke, that it was a multitude insomuch that they trod one upon another. So in other words, they were pretty much running over each other as they were listening to Jesus. So this is where Jesus is at. He's in this crowd. And in verse 13, there is a man of the company that comes to Jesus with a request. And as we look at this parable today, the title of the message is God, Justice, and Material Possessions. And we like to look at these three things as we look at this parable. God, Justice, and Material Possessions. We see here in this parable as well, we see the man that came with the request. I'll call him the man. We see Jesus. And we see the rich fool in the parable then. And as we look at this passage today, open your heart to what God has for you. And I trust we can learn something from it. Let's read Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth. Now get this, consisteth not in the abundance of things, which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. As we look at this parable today, Jesus is in a crowd. The disciples are with him. And this man comes to him. And I don't know how he survived in getting trampled over and actually coming close enough to Jesus to actually ask him the request. But we see here Jesus heard the request. And the man's request was to speak to my brother. Go speak to my brother that he can divide the inheritance. Now, as we look at this time, this era, it was very likely in this situation that the father had died. And the law in that day was that automatically, but if there was no will made that the older brother, the older sibling, was responsible to deal out the inheritance. And so, very likely, there may have not been a will in this situation. So, the younger brother is coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, really, go deal with my brother. I want my inheritance. And Jesus sees this man's heart, I believe. In verse 14, Jesus said, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He asked the question, and we'll look at that question a little bit later. But then Jesus goes on and gives the parable of the rich fool. Now, it's interesting, as you look at the rich fool, and I'll also refer him to as no offense to the farmers here this morning. But that's my first thing as I think about the crops and the goods that he has, it automatically goes to a farmer. So no offense there. I believe we can have it wherever we go, whatever occupation we do. We can have this problem. But the farmer here, the rich farmer, he had a bumper crop. And he had probably a big facility at this point. But he had way too much. He couldn't store it all. So what did he do? Well, notice also how many times he talks about I, myself, and my. I counted 11 times that he talks about I, my, or myself. He talks about my barns. He talks about my fruits. He talks about my goods. He talks about my soul. This man was wrapped up in his stuff. That's all he thought about. Hey, I'm sure he was rejoicing when he had a bumper crop that year. His corn done well. He was like way over what was normal. This was his world. Someone has said this. Guilt says, I owe you. Anger says, you owe me. But what does greed say? I owe me. I owe me. It's everything about me. Whatever I can get for myself, that's what's going to validate me. That's what's going to give approval when I have done well. I believe that's what this farmer was looking at. But notice verse 15. Verse 15, he said unto them, Jesus speaking, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. If you forget all else this morning, remember this. Remember what Jesus is saying. Whatever you do, your validation, if that's what you're looking for this morning, you're not going to get it in your possessions. You can try, and you can try hard. You can work yourself to the grave. It may feel good, but you're not going to get it there. The abundance of things which he possesseth. Let's go back now and see, really, what was the man asking of Jesus? What was the man asking in verse 13 here? Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Like I said earlier, he was very likely frustrated with his brother. His brother wasn't dealing well with him. And he's saying, Jesus, please, help me. I believe as we look closer, we see a man that was really, really wrapped up in his stuff, in his earthly possessions. Very likely he had much at this point, but he seen where he could get just a little bit more, and he wanted it. He wanted it badly. Now, as you look at verse 14, Jesus responds then, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Jesus, I believe, seen what this man really wanted. And Jesus is saying, maybe not outright, but as he dialogues with this man, he's saying, just really, is this what you want? But let's think about the two brothers here. We don't see the younger brother saying, Jesus, I know you're a good man, and I know that what you do is right and good. And whatever it takes, I'm willing to bend over backwards to help my brother. Just let's just get this thing settled. I'm really concerned about our relationship. I want to salvage that relationship. I don't want this to become in between us. I don't really think that was his intent. I believe as we look at this man, we see a man that wanted his stuff at no matter what it took. If it meant destroying his relationship with his brother, not a problem. Let's do it. I just want my stuff. Maybe in today's language, it would go something like this. Tell my brother that he is wrong and that he should give me my right. I have rights here and I have right to this stuff and he needs to give it to me. The younger brother, sad to say, is not concerned about his relationship with his brother. He's calling for justice. He's calling for Jesus, deal with this man. Give what he deserves. We can look at different scriptures of people that took justice into their own hands. What is justice? We think of justice in our day to day. We see it in a haphazard sort of way. Ways that are it's being misused. Also some good ways. And I'm not going into a lot of details, but as we think of justice this morning, what is justice in your life? I believe here we see a man that was selfish. But as I look at justice, it's basically this, giving to each his due. And as I said, we could look at different scriptures where Jesus dealt rightly with these people. And it was, he dealt well with them. And he could have done that very same thing here with this incident. But I believe Jesus said, whoa, 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 brother. Let's look at this thing all over here. And let's look at this thing in the light of eternity. And as I thought about, as we look at these two brothers and as we look at how they were relating to each other, in my study that came across the whole thing of the fact of in the Middle East, they say since World War I, communities in the Middle East have been trying to deal out justice. And we see that in a variety of different wars that have happened since then. And they try to deal out justice without God's help. And whenever we do that, it's just going to be a vicious cycle. Because we always think that that brother or that sister deserves more than I do. A selfish way. Or maybe it's a sibling rivalry. Well, it's just not fair. No, like I tell my children, life is not fair. This brother here realized that it's not fair. The people in the Middle East, they try to fight and they fight and they fight and they fight to try to deal out justice. It's a vicious cycle. Justice. What are you, what am I willing to do as I think of dealing out justice with my brother, with my sister? Am I willing to take some slack to give my brother or my sister some grace and to deal justly with them? Luke 4:16 through 30 gives the account of the man that was left down through the roof. Jesus saw what was happening and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the people started to rebuke Jesus. Jesus dealt justly with that man. But to them it wasn't fair. The prophet in Habakkuk 7 wrote about the coming of the Chaldeans. Habakkuk 1 verse 7, they are terrible. Now listen to this. Sounds like today's day. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of who? Myself. Themselves. That's who it was all about. Even back in Habakkuk 1. Things haven't changed. It's still about myself. In our world today, and Jesus is trying to get to this man as he continues to speak to him. Jesus here, as we see his response, wanted to give justice to this man. But this man didn't see it. And so Jesus, he goes and he begins to teach them with a parable. Jesus wanted something more for this young man than for him to just get his stuff. And I believe today Jesus is wanting more for us than that we just get our stuff. He wants relationships that are restored. So that these two brothers can relate to in life. like they should. Jesus wanted them to be restored in good relationships, that they can, relationships can be healed. And God helps to deal rightly and justly. You know, even times, there's times where we become out of focus. And Jesus and God Almighty has to deal with us so that we can deal rightly and justly with His help. Looking at the parable then in verse 16, notice Jesus calls this man, man. Now, there's different times where Jesus talks to somebody. I think of Judas when he said, friend. This here, again, I believe gives us an indication that Jesus was not pleased with this man. As he gives this parable, he says, the man. He didn't say friend, he didn't use his name, but man. And I believe we see some displeasure in that. Verse 15, he said then, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Again, I hope you get that this morning. The man thinking was of only I can have my share of the inheritance, then I'll be happy. If only I had the certain thing that I could get, then I would be happy. Jesus saw, really, that wasn't what the man's problem was. It was his possessions. And in my own words, again, this man was not concerned about his relationship with his brother. It was more about getting the things, getting his possessions. And brothers and sisters, this morning, we probably all have seen incidences. We've maybe been involved in incidences, even in our own families, where this has happened. And it has destroyed relationships. It has affected relationships. And my cry this morning is, let's live above that. Let's not focus on the possessions, but let's focus on what God wants for us. When we have this drive for possessions to acquire more, it's a vicious cycle. It's a miserable life. Because it causes an irrational fear. The fear of one day not having enough because of the insecurities of possessions, of what possessions bring. Again, possessions this morning will not bring us happiness. They can make us feel good, but it will not bring true happiness. Jesus is saying life is not in the possessions that a man gets. For a man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. And I have to ask myself, what don't I understand about what Jesus is saying here? Let's look at the parable of the rich fool. Verse 16. We see here that this rich farmer, that he had very likely done the same things he had done year after year that a good farmer will do. He will till his ground. He will plant his whatever he's planting at the right time of the year. He will put that fertilizer, whatever he feels, whatever needs for that crop to really go and grow and to be fruitful. And very likely that this man was probably very wealthy already. But here comes a bumper crop. And we don't see that he did anything different as far as his crops. But whatever the case, we see and understand that God blessed him with a plentiful crop. In verse 17 then, he thought within himself. Notice, who were the people around him? Nobody. He didn't have nobody to talk to. He thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. We see here two problems. One is he has way too many crops and not enough space. And number two, he thinks about it just himself. I believe possessions here had a grip on this rich farmer, but notice the phrase, he thought within himself. Gives us the idea that he took no counsel. We don't see him going to his brother and saying, hey brother, I've got a problem here. What shall I do? What do you advise me to do? Should I give to the needy over here? Can I bless them in some way? Do you know of anybody that I can bless? I just got way more than I can deal with. We don't see that. What does he say? What should I do with these crops? And he talked with himself. He mused about it. He thought about it. Very likely he probably talked out loud to himself about it. Remember, this was his world. This was what he lived for. To see these possessions, and these possessions had gripped him to the point. And Jesus is trying to get to this young man's heart through this parable. Remember this. So as Jesus continues with the parable, he continues to remind us, as well as the young man, that these possessions can grip our hearts to the point that it will, next thing, to destroy us. As we think about just himself now, he has no one to communicate. He has no family to go to. He has very little, if any, friends, the way it appears here. And so he has no one to really process it with. And as we think about our day, I think we live in a land with a bumper crop. And I'd like for us to think about this. As we think about this parable, interesting studies have showed that more wealth people acquire, the farther they generally withdraw from their neighbors, and sometimes even family and community. Some of you have fallen asleep on me. Stand up, please. Everybody stand up. What are you doing with the wealth that God has given you? What are you willing to give to the people around you? Again, I believe we see in the Middle East, people make decisions together. They talk about topics together. And it's very interesting that even some of the topics of, you know, things that we would do every day that they talk about. They live in that community. They work together because they want to help each other. You may be seated. You helped each other by standing up. Thank you. You know, too many times I believe we have the mentality that don't mess in my business, I won't mess in your business. But in the Middle East, everybody's business is everybody's business. And I believe as we look at our wealth, I believe it has affected on how we do community, how we relate to each other. I know it does for me. It's humiliating for me to go over to my neighbor and say, hey, can I use your tiller? Or can I use your tractor? I don't know what he's going to say. What's he going to think? It don't matter. It don't matter. I believe as we think about community, as we think about our possessions, as we think about what God would want, I believe we see here a scripture, a parable that Jesus is saying, you need each other. You need to communicate with each other. You need to get along with each other. Listen to this two verses in Isaiah 5, 8 and 9. Isaiah says it this way, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. That sounds of a sad place. Where we just get and get and get and get. And we lay field to field. We buy more farms. We buy everything that we think will bring us happiness. And it just heaps up. And pretty soon we're alone. And Jesus is telling this man, this is where you're headed. You just want more stuff. Ambrose said it this way, the things we cannot take with. Sorry, I didn't write this down. Things we cannot take with away with us are not ours. Compassion will follow us. In other words, the things we possess, we cannot take with us. The only things that we can really take with us is that of family, of friends, that we show that compassion to. Someone has said it this way as they looked at this parable, that the bellies of the poor were much safer storehouses than his barns. But the rich man thought just about himself. He thought about himself. Look at verse 18. And he said, this will I do. He has now mused to himself. He has thought about what he's going to do. And he came up with a solution. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. Notice he's still talking with himself. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I. It's about me. Bestow my goods, my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine eat, drink, and be merry. So now he has bigger barns. His barns are packed full. He's got plenty. He's going to eat and drink, and he's going to enjoy life. But apparently, he didn't quite understand Ecclesiastes 8, verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him. For that shall abide with him of his labor, the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. He did what the first part of Ecclesiastes says here. He ate, he drank, he was merry. But what did he forget? It was God that gave him that plentiful crop. It was God that blessed him. This rich fool did the part of enjoying life. And it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not wrong this morning to possess things. It's not wrong this morning to enjoy life, to eat and to drink. But if that is what we're going to be wrapped up in, then it's wrong. This rich man's philosophy was, my soul is now good. I can rest. I can enjoy life. I have enough food, I have enough drink. But then, boom, God spoke. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He's saying, you're not going to take any of this with you. God spoke. It was his time to go. And the man was not ready to go. Suddenly the rich man realized that his life was wasted. He had lots of stuff. But God called him out of this world. The rich man had not acknowledged God. He had forgotten God. I don't know, very likely he knew about God. But he was not wanting anything to do with God until life had ended. Suddenly, those things which he had weren't going to save him. Jesus ends the dialogue with the man that Jesus to settle the fight over the inheritance. We don't have the exact record, but as he comes there to verses 20 and 21, Jesus may have said this way. We don't have exactly what he said, but suppose Jesus said something like this. Say if you were to win the fight and get your inheritance, what then? If Jesus would have been the judge and the divider right then and there and said, you know what? Okay, we're going to deal with this thing. You get this and you get this and the brothers, you go on. Would have that been redemptive? Would have that been really what this man wanted? Maybe at the time. But Jesus saw the bigger picture. He saw beyond the earthly things and saw the heavenly. In verse 21, so he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. I believe Jesus is saying here, that what happens when you think just about yourself, and when you're more concerned about getting what I deserve, my inheritance, all about me, when you value possessions more than relationship with God and with your brother, there's bad things going to happen. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be a miserable creature to live with. And he's telling the young man, remember, God is the giver of all things. He is the owner of all things. And that's one thing that we oftentimes forget about. We think, I owe this. I own this. No, I'm only a steward. I'm only a steward of what God has given to me, to you. You are that steward. In closing, I'd like for us to think about three things. Walk with God. Walk with God. Secondly, walk justly with all men. Walk justly with all men. And thirdly, walk with an open hand. As we think about our material possessions, walk with an open hand. God prompts you to bless somebody, do it. Don't worry about, well, how am I going to pay so and so? This last week, I was at the gas station, and another pastor from a church here in the community come in, and we talked a little bit, and I got my cup of coffee and a little breakfast burrito, and we chit-chatted a little bit, and I went up to pay, and he was paying ahead of me. He told the cashier, he's put that on my tab as well. He blessed somebody. He was more concerned. This man that paid for my bill, he was wanting to bless somebody. He wasn't so tied up in his possessions. that he couldn't spare a few dollars to bless somebody. Walk with an open hand as we think about our material possessions. Remember, we're just stewards. It's really God who owns it. Luke 12, verse 34, I believe captures this up, and we could read 22 all the way down to verse 34, and you can do that for your homework assignment today. But verse 34, I believe, captures what Jesus is really saying on this parable. What Jesus is really getting after with this young man, as he tells this young man in the crowd there that day. Verse 34, and he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If your treasure is in your possessions, that's where your heart's going to be wrapped up in. But if it's in God, if it's about serving God and doing all that you can, everything that God has given to you, may it be lots of possessions. Use it for God's glory, not for yourself. Remember, walk with God, walk justly with all men, and walk with an open hand. Let's kneel and pray.